All right, so we're back on the record for the vacancy in Yuma County Superior Court this afternoon to do interviews for the candidates that have put in. Welcome to those that are here in the gallery. Some general guidelines. The candidates will be asked to wait outside. They will not be included in the other interviews, just to make sure that there's no advantage of someone knowing what the questions are or what the answers that other candidates are giving. Each interview will be approximately 30 minutes, and our panel will go through each of our questions or the list of questions to go through. And at the end, each candidate will be allowed a sort of a closing statement, and we'll move on from there. Just for the record, the process moving forward is that our staff, the governor's staff, will make phone calls to all the candidates once the decision has been made. And we will take all of the information back prior to a decision being made and share it with the governor, who will either decide to do further interviews or just make his decision from that process. So as said, this is not a time for public comment. This is solely a time for interviews. So we will not be taking public comment at this point. So our first candidate is Nathaniel Sorensen. Hi, Nathaniel.
Hello.
Hi. Please. So, will you please state your name for the record?
Sure. My name is Nathaniel Sorensen.
Okay, thank you. I'm Annie Foster. I'm the general counsel to Governor Ducey. We have a list of questions here that we're going to go through. At the end of that, we will give you sort of an opportunity to make a closing statement as to why the governor should pick you. And you'll have an opportunity, if you have any questions of us, to ask those. With that, we'll get started. I'd ask you in about 2 minutes if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're seeking to be a judge on the Yuma County Superior Court.
Okay. I grew up all over Arizona. In my application, I talked a little bit about that, but I've lived in Parker, Page, Wilcox, Thatcher. Yuma's actually the biggest town in Arizona that I've lived in, other than when I went to law school in Tucson. I really enjoy small towns and small communities. I have a wife and 6 children, and I enjoy raising them here in Yuma. We really like being here. We've had other opportunities to go other places, but we enjoy the community atmosphere and the small town feel of Yuma. The reason that I want to be a judge is because I feel like that's an opportunity to change people's lives and to help people. Because I love this community, I want to do things that affect it in a positive way. I want to stay involved in political and community service type organizations that have meaningful impacts on people's lives. As a prosecutor, I address each case in that manner. I look at not just what am I going to do in this particular case, but what are the implications of that in the future. How is that going to affect the community we live in? How is that going to affect the defendant's life? And what are some of the ripple effects of that? The unnamed victims of crimes, if you will, the family and friends of the defendants and the victims. And I try and consider all that because I love Yuma and I love being here. And every time we address a case like this, we have an opportunity. And that's how I view it, an opportunity to make our community better. As a judge, I feel like I would have a little more direct impact on that. My real desire, although I will serve however the court needs, my real desire is to be a juvenile court judge. I worked in the juvenile department of our division for about 1.5 years, and the opportunity to affect real change in a person's life in the juvenile world is much greater even than in the adult world. And so I really want to reach out and help the juveniles, the children who are making bad choices, find ways to make better choices.
Thank you.
I'm Nicole Collier. I'm the Deputy General Counsel to Governor Ducey. And my question is, what are some of the major problems facing the judiciary in Yuma County?
I think some of the major problems, major, that's an interesting modifier. I think some of the difficulties that the judiciary here face are come from that small town feel. You work on the bench in a highly stressful situation, and then you go out shopping and you see the people whose lives you are sitting in judgment on. And I think that becomes difficult at times, stressful in a personal way. But I also feel like that's one of the benefits of being in Yuma, is that you're constantly reminded that the people you're working with and that the people that you're serving are humans. They're human beings who have human problems and human realities that they have to live in. And I think that makes the job of being a judge a little more difficult here, whereas in a bigger community, you might disappear and you might not ever see those people again. And it might make the job of sitting in judgment a little bit easier. But I think that that human connection, while making the job more difficult, also helps to make it more effective, makes your decision-making process a little more concise and a little more concerned with the community and making sure that your decisions and the effects that they have are not made in a vacuum, but that they're made in the reality of the community we live in.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Becky Freeman. I'm the Director of Southern Arizona for Governor Ducey. What experience has most shaped your decision to apply for this judicial position?
I feel like I'm a product of my experiences, so I don't know that anyone has had an overwhelming influence. But my first job out of law school was as a judicial clerk to two judges up in Ely, Nevada. And seeing the process of the system, the justice system, from their perspective, really helped me to understand the human aspect. You get briefings and motions in from both sides. You read through it all. You do additional research, and then you have to make a decision. You have to make a determination. And they helped me understand the process is as important as the completed product. The decision you make is important, but how you get there is equally important. That you have to put in the time and the effort and the work to make sure that the decision is good. And their influence and their mentoring really helped set me on a path. They were the first time that I ever considered becoming a judge. That might be a goal, was working for them. And then throughout the process of being a prosecutor, this was my second job out of law school. I came from Ely to Yuma. And it began to clarify for me some of those ideas that they set for me. So I would point back to that instance, that mentorship, and that year-long internship in Ely.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Emily Ratchikovic, Service Director of Boards and Commissions for Governor Ducey. Can you tell us, who is your judicial role model?
My judicial role model is it's Dave Hawes, and I worry that he might be watching this interview right now. And the reason for that is he was actually working at the prosecutor's office when I started, and I know him from the community, and so I've had an opportunity over the years to talk to him privately about life and discuss kind of how he's viewed life. And I've had the additional opportunity to practice in front of him, to work in front of him, and to have him rule on cases and advise me on cases and sit in settlement conferences with him. And I've watched the way that he has handled his courtroom, his calendar, his docket, and the demeanor that he has, and it doesn't change. The person he is on the bench is the person he is in real life. He doesn't come up and put on a show for the courtroom. He is Judge Hawes, and he is Dave Hawes, and they are the same person. And that's the demeanor, that's the attitude, and that's the way I would like to handle it if I were on the bench.
Thank you.
In your vision for the future of the county's judicial system, what changes would you like to see implemented and why?
It's sometimes easy to root for change from outside. So not being on the bench, I don't know exactly what the problems and issues they face are. From an outsider's perspective, I'm a fan of appointing judges more than electing judges, because I feel like it makes the brings a lot of politicking into the process. Having said that, in Yuma County, the judges aren't often challenged, and so they don't have a lot of contested elections. But in terms of the future of the county, I would like to see more appointed positions and less having to run for election. I like the way that removes some of the political pressures from the judge, allowing them to sit and do their job without the additional pressure of having to wonder if the electorate feels a particular way on a particular issue.
Thank you. As a follow-up, are you willing to run if you were to be appointed? Obviously, to continue on, you would have to run in an election. Are you willing to do so?
Absolutely. I considered that. That's one of the questions that my wife and I sat down and talked about before. I submitted the application. We're aware that we'd have to run in about a year and a half. And then again, if I win that election, again, 2 years after that, that there would be at least two elections in the next 4 years. So I'm aware of that, and I'm willing to do that, and I am prepared to do that.
Thank you.
As a prospective judge, what do you consider your greatest strength?
My greatest strength would be, I think, my analytic mind and calm personality, that I am able to step back from the situation, listen to all sides, analyze the issues, and then come to a decision. I understand the process, and I'm willing to abide by that process and work through that process patiently. Whether that means coming to a decision at the bench or taking it under advisement, doing additional research, and coming to a decision later, I think the process is the same. You have to make sure you're taking in all the information, given it an opportunity to analyze it and to consider what the implications are, and then make a decision. Having said that, I am decisive, and I don't wait. I don't try and make sure I gather additional information and additional information ad nauseum. I'm willing to make a decision and stick by that.
Thank you.
Describe a difficult case you have handled and what made it so difficult.
One of the difficult cases that I've handled was it's in the application. It was a case with a juvenile at a high school who had punched another juvenile and broken the orbital bone, or the, I think it was the bone right next to the eye. That's why I'm a lawyer, not a doctor. But the incident, as I looked into it more, came about because there was a lot of making fun of the defendant who was the largest kid on the football team, and everyone let him know it, and everyone talked about it, and they poked fun at his way, and they'd say he was kind of slow. And on this particular day, one of the smallest guys on the team made a comment, and that was just one too many, and he hit the guy, not intending to break a bone or damage him in that way, but the long-term consequences are that the victim has permanent physical damage to his eye. And as I worked through the case, I began to understand that there was a dynamic in the defendant's life that had led him to that choice and that decision. and trying to balance that with the effects of what had happened, the serious nature of the injury. And the difficulty for me was trying to come to a decision of how to balance those two interests. On top of that, the high school wasn't very cooperative. They didn't want to admit that they had a systemic problem. They didn't want to admit that the team was involved. They didn't want to admit any liability. And so they kind of blocked it off and tried to prevent the investigation. And going through that process, it's one of the reasons that I'd like to work in the juvenile courts, is because I saw that there were ways that we could help the victim through a plea agreement, and there were ways that we could actually help the defendant through a plea agreement. And I worked with the defense attorney to do that, to come to that agreement and to work out a satisfactory solution.
Thank you.
So at this point in time, we want to give you the opportunity to sort of make a closing argument as to why the governor should choose you for this vacancy. So if you want to take about 2 minutes to tell us why you feel the governor should appoint you.
If I didn't feel like I wasn't qualified for the position, I wouldn't have applied. And so I do think that I'm qualified to be a judge in Yuma County. I do want to be a judge in Yuma County. But I don't necessarily want the governor to pick me unless he feels like I'm the most qualified person for the job, that I'll do the job the best. I believe that a judge ought to sit down, listen to the facts, and apply the law as written. I believe it's that simple in terms of being a judge. You take the law as written, you apply it to the facts that you're given, and you allow the process to dictate the outcome, that you don't, as a judge, step in and dictate the outcome. I believe that qualifies me for this position, that I understand the process, and I'm willing to implement the process without inserting myself into it. I'm calm, I'm decisive, I'm willing to make a decision and stick with it. However, I'm not inflexible. I'm willing to hear that I'm wrong. I'm willing to address where I'm wrong, and I'm willing to make changes. I'm young, and I understand that, and I'm willing to learn. I'll take the time to make sure I learn the law and learn it the right way. And finally, like I said, I really love Yuma County. I love the city of Yuma. I love being here. I love the opportunities that it gives my children to be here. And I want to do something to make it a better place. I want to help keep Yuma County the wonderful place that it has been for me when I was growing up, and that it's been for my children.
Thank you.
Well, do you have any questions of us?
I don't.
Okay. So the process moving forward, I may have said this already, but I can't remember, so I'm going to say it again if I did, is that all of this information that we're gathering here today, we will compile, we'll take it back to the governor. He will review it all, sit down and talk with us as to what our impressions are, and then he will make his decision. At this point, we don't expect that he will be doing further interviews, but should that change, we will notify you. And no matter what the outcome is, we always call all of the candidates to let them know the outcome, so you should hear from us in one way, shape, or form. The one thing that I do want to point out is there's a sort of a process for a background check that would need to happen, that will require like a fingerprint clearance check, and so our office will be in touch about that. Okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming down to Yuma.
Thank you.
It helps us out.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, so we're back on the record for the interview of Brenda Sandoval. Ms. Sandoval, thank you for being here. My name is Annie Foster. I'm the General Counsel to Governor Ducey, and we're going to be going through some questions. The panel will be asking them. At the end of the interview, we're going to ask you to sort of give a closing argument as to why the governor should pick you for the vacancy in Yuma County, And then you'll have the opportunity if you have any questions of us as well, okay? All right, so with that, we'll get started. So the first question that we have for you is if you could start by telling us in about 2 minutes, and we give that time frame more so that people have an understanding. We don't need a long history of who you are. 2 minutes, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you would like to become a judge on the Yuma County Superior Court.
Yes. I have 3 reasons. The first reason is I have the intellectual ability and I'm highly confident. I have many years of experience practicing law. I have not only represented indigent individuals in Yuma County in criminal matters, I have also represented individuals who have no money in civil matters when I worked in community legal services. I've always had held jobs as an adult serving Yuma County. Now as a federal attorney, I represent people who are accused of federal crimes. Nonetheless, I still work in this community. I have lived here all my life. I'm a native of Yuma. I understand the dynamics of this community. I come from a family with military and law enforcement background. Because I grew up in such a family, I understand the importance of serving one's community and law and order. I have myself a background as a criminal defense attorney because I have the background as a criminal defense attorney, but I also have my family who have taught me that law and order are important. I am able to use that to be able to have very positive relationships with law enforcement and prosecutors. I want to be able to bring my skills to this bench to provide fair access to justice to all the parties before me. That's why I am the ideal candidate for this position.
Thank you. I'm Nicole Collier. I'm the Deputy General Counsel to Governor Ducey. What are some of the major problems facing the judiciary in Yuma County today?
I think some of the major problems are people with substance abuse issues, and typically those people are individuals who suffer from mental health issues. I think it's very hard to deal with those kind of individuals, and I think so far Yuma County is doing a really good job with their drug court. Nonetheless, I still think there's room for improvement when it comes to educating the public because a lot of people are falling in the cracks of the system, and we really need to help everyone so that our system can become better.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Becky Freeman. I'm the Director of Southern Arizona for Governor Ducey. What experience has most shaped your decision to apply for this judicial position?
I have personal and professional experiences. My personal experience has been a tremendous loss, not just to this community and to my family, but to me as an older sister. My brother was injured in Iraq, and I had to see him go through a lot of pain trying to recover. Unfortunately, he finally passed almost 2 years after he was injured. It was really a time when I couldn't. Excuse me, I need a little bit of water.
Take your time.
This is an emotional subject for me. It's really hard because my brother and I were very close. He was my baby brother. And back in the 80s, there was that horrific crime that happened to that little boy, Adam Walsh's son. And my mom was the kind of mother that liked to take her kids and get their pictures taken when they turned a year. And so my brother was one of these little kids who just had a lot of energy, and he was just running around the store. And I remember thinking, like, I don't want what happened to that little boy to happen to my brother. And I just remember as an older sister feeling very responsible to take care of him. So when he grew up, I didn't want him to sign up after 9/11, and he did, because I just as a sister, I was selfish. I loved my brother. I didn't want him to be hurt. But I was very proud of him because in my family, military service has always been part of my family. My grandfather was born in this state by accident. And then he was drafted and he didn't go back to Mexico. He said, no, I'm going to fight for this country because I love this country. This is our country. And so then when my brother signed up, I just felt very scared that something was going to happen to him. But when he died, it was almost like it caused me to be stronger, not just as an advocate, but as a person who wanted to help the community more. And after he died, it was like very inspirational. It caused me to want to give kids in the community an opportunity too. So my family and I started doing scholarships at the local high school. I started doing talks at the school about the importance of higher education. I just wanted other people to hear my perspective and to be inspired to become leaders in this community.
Well, thank you for sharing the memory of your brother and for his service. By way of introduction, my name is Emily Radjikovich, Service Director of Boards and Commissions for the Governor. Could you tell us, who is your judicial role model?
Well, I've practiced regularly before Article III judges there in Federal District Court in Phoenix. Those folks are my role models because I see them carefully applying the law, following the rules and procedures of our federal courts. I have a lot of admiration how they do their job. They're not just highly competent, but I see people with extremely high ethical standards, which if I were to be selected, that's what I aspire to be, a judge who fairly, impartially, and neutrally applies the law, gives everyone an opportunity to be heard, and also ensures that our ethical standards are maintained.
Thank you so much. So as you look towards the future of your county's judicial system, what changes would you like to see implemented and why?
Well, as a judge, our role really is to apply the law and follow the rules and procedures. If I could do anything, I would want to help with developing more educational programs for mental health issues and substance abuse issues, because I think that if we all work together as a community, the system will work better for everyone, and everybody deserves an opportunity. I really feel as a person who is a Catholic person, I do feel that we're not just here to be the leaders, we're here also to set the example. And being a leader does not always just mean to be in the forefront, but also to help and serve the community by actually putting yourself out there and going to schools to talk about the importance of trying to figure out if people have mental health issues or substance abuse issues, how to combat those problems, as well as attend events that bring awareness to these issues.
As a prospective judge, what do you consider your greatest strength?
My greatest strength is the desire to always ensure that everything gets done how it should get done. I regularly look at the law to guide me in my decisions and how I make my arguments. I never want to go before a judge with theories that are not supported by good law. That is important to me because I do not ever want to lose my credibility as an attorney. Even though I'm not a judge, I think that my role as a officer of the court is extremely important, that even in my own personal time, I try to be very careful how I engage with the community. I do not want anyone to say, because Yuma is a very small town, even though the population is growing, it's still very small. I'm from this community, so people recognize me, and they know that I am an officer of the port. And a lot of people actually call me Miss Sandoval, and it's very hard for me because I'm like, we know each other from high school. But at the same time, because I know I'm an officer of the port, I'm very mindful as to what activities I engage in.
Thank you.
If you can, describe a difficult case you have handled and what made it so difficult.
One of the most difficult cases I've handled is a case where my client was struggling with mental health issues. And unfortunately, I had to go against his wishes. He did not want to be evaluated because the evaluation process in federal court requires somebody to be taken into custody into a medical facility for a few months. And he fought hard against me. He was very belligerent towards me. Nonetheless, I had him evaluated, and I felt very satisfied with my decision despite him being very angry with me. Because once the evaluation came back, I was right. He was not competent to stand trial. And in fact, the treating doctor found that even with involuntary medication, he would not be restored. The case was dismissed, and I felt very proud of myself because even though my client was very angry with me, I ensured that justice was administered in that case.
Thank you. One sort of last question that we have, obviously whoever the governor appoints will need to run for election eventually. Are you willing to run for election?
I am. I am a person that believes in challenges, and I love my community. I've grown up here. I know that I'm not always involved in the community because as a federal employee, I have to be very mindful when it comes to getting involved in political stuff, but I have in my past walked in neighborhoods to help people register to vote, inform them about the electoral process to ensure that more people vote. So I have no doubt that I would have no problem running for office in the future.
Thank you. And if you would like to take this time, again, you can take about 2 minutes or so and sort of provide us with a closing statement as to why the governor should pick you.
The governor should select me because I not only have several years of experience practicing both criminal and civil law, which I have a track record that shows that I can transition easily into another role in the court system, but I also come from a diverse background. When I say diverse background, I come from a military and law enforcement family who both taught me the importance of serving our community. I myself have lived that way throughout my life. Since I finished college, I came back to help people with disabilities become gainfully employed and get off the financial assistance program offered by our state. In addition to being an advocate for people who could not afford their own attorney in civil and criminal areas of the law, I have also given my personal life to the community by presenting, doing speaking engagements at school. I have also trained other attorneys as to changes in law, not just in this community, but I've represented this community in statewide and national forums. And as a judge, I would not only impartially, neutrally, and fairly apply the law, I would be a leader by also going into the community and supporting causes such as awareness to substance abuse issues as well as mental health issues.
Thank you very much. Do you have any questions for us?
Are you from Arizona?
I'm not. I'm from Maryland originally, but I think I'm the only one of the panelists. I think everyone else here is from Arizona originally.
May I follow up? How long have you?
15 years.
And how do you like Arizona?
It's home.
I like that.
Yeah.
The same question for all of you. Are you from Arizona?
I am. I'm born and raised in Phoenix.
Okay.
Went to law school at U of A and you know, very much consider Arizona my home, and my family and extended family are in Phoenix area.
Okay. Born and raised in Tucson, and went to U of A and have all our family there.
I grew up in Phoenix, went to Tucson.
Okay, so I feel like we have a common commonality here. We all love Arizona, and I really like that, to meet more people that are like me, that want to be here, want to make this place a better place to live.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So next steps going forward is we will compile all of this information that we're gathering here today. We will take that back, share it with the governor. The governor will read all of the applications, any support letters that are there, and he will make his decision. We don't expect at this time that he will be doing further interviews, but once he makes his decision, you will receive a call either way.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you for
thank
your time.
Thank you.
Have a nice trip.
Thank you.
Will you please state your name for the record?
Rosemary Aaron Farrar.
Okay. We're here today for your interview for the vacancy on Yuma County Superior Court. We're going to ask a number of questions here and just go through the panel. We'll each introduce ourselves as we ask the first question. At the end, you'll have about 2 minutes to sort of give a closing argument as to why the governor should pick you, and then we'll also have an opportunity if you have any questions of us, and I'll also explain the process moving forward after today. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. So if you will take about 2 minutes, and first of all, I'm Annie Foster, General Counsel to Governor Ducey, and if you'll take about 2 minutes and explain, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you would like to be a Superior Court judge.
Sure. I am from Yuma, born and raised here. Went to high school in Yuma, attended Arizona State University, and then went to law school in California. I've actually began studying law in 2002. I worked for a cousin who was an attorney here in town. So about 17 years now of experience in the legal field. I am a mother to 5 children, and they keep us incredibly busy, dance, gymnastics, sports. That's what I do with my free time, if I have any, other than reading, and I do like exercising and things. I love Yuma. I'm really proud of our community. It would be an honor to sit on our Superior Court bench for a number of reasons. I think that the people deserve to have the highest quality of justice that we can provide to them, and that comes with a big responsibility for the judicial officer. I've been in Yuma Justice Court now for 2 years. I really enjoy it, and I think that this would be a great opportunity to use my experience and knowledge for the benefit of our Superior Court.
Thank you.
I am Nicole Collier. I'm the Deputy General Counsel to Governor Ducey. What are some of the major problems facing the judiciary in Yuma County today?
I would probably guess that it would be our delay or the ability of our courts to be efficient, while at the same time being patient. with our litigants. Justice Court in particular, we handle a large volume of civil and criminal cases. We do our best to of course, be efficient, but that comes sometimes as a balancing with patients and giving litigants a full and complete opportunity to present the case to us. And so I would say that it's maybe a congestion of calendars and not being quite as efficient as we can be.
As a follow-up to that, what would be some of your suggestions for improving
that? I think one of the main things that a judicial officer can do is be well prepared for a case, know its history, not have to depend on the state or defense counsel or plaintiff or defendant's counsel to tell you where we are in the case. And so I think with being prepared, you can come on the bench and know, okay, this is the date and time set for A, B, C, or D, and then you can go through that process with them to move the case along. And of course, to consider each and every motion to continue based on the legal basis set forth. Are they providing you with a legitimate reason to continue a matter? I believe continuances are frequent and often, but I'm not quite sure that we're doing enough to ensure that there's an actual adequate basis to grant those. Thank you.
My name is Becky Freeman. I'm the Director of Southern Arizona for Governor Ducey. What experience has most shaped your decision to apply for this judicial position?
Well, I've had the privilege and opportunity to work in almost every court in Yuma. When I say that, I mean I started in private practice, and in private practice I had the opportunity to be president of Superior Court on various cases, domestic relations, personal injury, other civil matters. I then had the opportunity to appear, not frequently, but in federal court. So I got to learn about that system. One of the attorneys that I practiced with gave me that opportunity to appear for him in federal court on some criminal matters. Also did some bankruptcies in civil practice, so I got to learn about that system as well. In addition, I had contracts, independent contracts with our county for mental health proceedings. So I've been in, I call that a court because to me it is a court proceeding, although it's usually held at the mental health facility. But that was another unique experience. In addition to that, I've worked in our municipal court, and I handle misdemeanor cases in municipal court, and got to experience being in front of those judges and working with the prosecutor there. And then, of course, I've had experience in justice court for 2 years now. And did I forget any? Yes. And one of my most, the most important things, I think, was in working in juvenile court. I represented the Division of Child Safety for 3 years. I think anybody coming out of law school would be I think that would be the ultimate beneficial learning experience for that individual. You have so many cases, so many unique areas that you're dealing with in dependency cases, from federal law to state law to procedures, policy, DCS, rules. You really have to have a pretty broad knowledge base in that in that particular court. And the matters that we handled had such great significance and dealt, of course, with constitutional rights. So I think that if anything, in the past 12 years, I would say my work in juvenile court.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Emily Ratchett, I'm the Director of Boards and Commissions for Governor Ducey. Can you tell us, who is your judicial role model?
That's an easy one. Judge Nelson. Judge Nelson had all the qualities of a judge that I would hope to one day have myself. He was patient, fair, impartial, a great listener, you can tell when he was really pondering something. You can tell that he took great time and effort to be prepared for his cases, to know the law, to apply it, based on the facts and evidence presented to him. He had to make hard decisions, but he made them with tact, professionalism, and he really gave everyone in the courtroom an opportunity to fully be heard. And I think that he was a good mentor, and I'm glad that I had the opportunity to have matters before him.
Thank you. So you alluded a little bit to this in a prior question. I'm going to ask it a little bit differently. But in your vision of what the county's judicial system should look like, what changes would you like to see implemented and why?
Well, I think going back to, again, efficiency and really looking at our cases and the time standards that we impose upon ourselves. In Justice Court, I think we have a great system set up for doing so. We sit down, we have meetings, and we go over each of the areas that we deal in, whether it's evictions or criminal cases or civil cases. We meet with our departments, the young ladies and men that actually work hard. They are the ones doing all of that hard work to put those numbers together for us. But we sit down with them as well, and we discuss which areas we're lacking in and which areas we can improve in. So I think that it's imperative to communicate with staff and judges and see if things need to be shifted or not. If I guess again, just determine which cases are the not the weakest, and that's not the proper word. Which cases that you really need to focus on meeting those time standards in a better way mechanism. And again, I think that's reviewing with staff and having those statistics to review.
Thank you.
As a prospective judge, what do you consider your greatest strength?
Greatest strength, I would say, is my experience. I don't know a lot of individuals who are similarly situated in terms of the areas that I've had the opportunity to practice in. I don't think I've even named them all here today, but in civil matters, there's quite a bit that I've dealt with in terms of just general contract cases, personal injury cases, to general civil litigation. I've dealt with domestic relations, and I would say that in that particular area, I've had not only the benefit of practicing in it for, I would say that my practice in that particular area has gone from about 2008 to 2017, so... that's dissolution cases and custody, child support, and it was my time with the Attorney General's office also consisted of 2 years representing the Division of Child Support Services. So again, I was back into that area of domestic relations where we dealt with paternity cases, establishment orders, modifications, and so I had to continually be familiar with that area of the law. In addition to the juvenile work that I've done, handling misdemeanor cases, both here in Justice Court as well as in our municipal court. I've handled eviction cases while in the Justice Court. And so I would say that it's my experience and my ability to work hard and be well prepared for a case. I have absolutely no issue with taking a moment to step off the bench and research something that's needed, if that's the situation that presents itself. But I think my hard work, my preparation, and my experience.
If you can you describe a difficult case you've had to handle and what made it so difficult?
I would say there have probably been a number of them, but if I had to go back to one, it would probably be in juvenile court, and it would probably have been a guardianship matter. What made it so difficult is because there's so many competing interests in those cases. You have, on top of parents' rights, we had grandparents, and we had two sets of grandparents who were equally determined to get custody over their grandchild. And it really required our client to kind of put in a lot of extra work, go above and beyond, doing home studies prepared for each grandparent's home, being really prepared on my part to advocate for what my client thought what was best, because that's part of DCS's, or Division of Child Safety's, role was communicating to the court what our position was and why. And so we really had to have everything in order for that case and be well prepared to present our position. It ultimately ended in a resolution that was beneficial for everyone involved. And I believe Judge Nelson was on that case.
Okay, now we'd ask you to take about 2 minutes and tell us why the governor should pick you over anyone else. This is your closing argument, so to say.
My closing argument. Well, again, I go back to my experience. It began in 2002, so for 17 years now, I have been involved in legal work and in various areas as I've set forth here today. I took every opportunity I could to better myself in law school, and when I got my license, I clerked for two separate courts in LA County and then South County, San Diego. Those are great experiences. I got to learn about the court system and how it functions kind of from that perspective, a law clerk's perspective. I've had the opportunity to work with a number of private attorneys that have helped shape who I am and the attorney that I am today. But I really think that it's my experience and, again, my work ethic. I will be prepared. I will review cases before I get on the bench. I will know what the issues are being presented. I will carefully weigh and consider all of the evidence and facts presented to myself, and I will do that in each and every case, no matter how big or small. They will all be equally as important, and I will strive to make a good determination each and every time.
One more question. As you know, the person who's appointed to this position will have to run for election to continue in that position. Are you willing and able to run for election?
I am.
So a few things. Moving forward, we will compile all of this information. We'll take it back to the governor. The governor will review the applications, letters of support. We'll have a conversation about how our interviews went today. After that, he will make his decision. At this point, we don't expect that he will be doing further interviews. But no matter what, all the candidates will receive a phone call one way or the other to let you know that the decision's been made. And then There is a background process that has to be completed. There's a fingerprint background check, and so our office will be in contact to talk to you about that process going forward. Do you have any questions of us?
I don't believe I do. I've got fingerprints done. I just need to send them off.
Okay.
So, no, I thank you all for your time and consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, for the record, can you please state your name?
Sure, Rodney Short.
Okay, welcome for the interview today for Yuma County Superior Court vacancy. We have a list of questions that we're going to go through. We'll introduce ourselves as we're going through that so you know who we are, and there won't be a test at the end. And then at the end, there'll be about a two-minute opportunity for you to present your closing argument as to why the governor should pick you for the vacancy. And after that, I'll kind of go through the process moving forward, and you'll have the opportunity to answer any question, ask any questions of us that you may have. Okay? So with that, I'm Annie Foster, General Counsel to Governor Ducey, and I would ask that you start with about 2 minutes about who you are. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you would like to become a judge on the Superior Court.
Okay. Well, thanks for the opportunity. Again, Rodney Short. A little bit about myself to start with. I guess you could start off to say I am a human. I'm not wearing my Yuma High Criminals tie. I did put that in my application, though. I was lucky enough, after I became a lawyer, I worked in Phoenix for a little while and had a very lucrative opportunity. And when it became time to decide whether you're going to go partner or not, I had the opportunity to come back to Yuma, and it was great because my parents got divorced when I was just starting college down at U of A, so Yuma did not become home to me again for quite a while, and this allowed me to come back home. And I got a job at the city attorney's office, which was a little hard to explain to my wife, that we were cutting my salary down in half, and I was going to move her to Yuma, Arizona, so it was great. I thoroughly love my job. I actually, it's academically challenging. It is a different thing to walk in the door every day. I've been promoted now to supervisor over there as a deputy. We have two assistant city attorneys that are just amazing. They get a lot of work done. It's great to be their leader. It's great to kind of take the face of the office. But I have been in courtrooms here, and especially federal court. A lot of my practice is in federal court, defending Section 1983 with cops and firefighters, which is kind of amazing that that these guys are facing so many civil rights lawsuits, but it does happen. And I've gone in and had some great success, sometimes for reasons that I just didn't agree with. I liked my argument better. I liked my research better. And sometimes the judge kind of went off the old that old game show where you got a joker and you said, oh, I'm going to go off the board and pick something else. And that's why I won. So to me, if you're in a service organization and you know, being a judge is hard no matter which judicial seat you sit in, if you have the opportunity to scratch your head and say, why did that happen, you better be ready to put your name in the hat. Can't stand in those shoes because it's pretty difficult and everybody tries to do a good job, and that's exactly why I'm here. I think it's a furtherance of my service to the community.
I'm Nicole Collier. I'm the Deputy General Counsel with the Governor Ducey. What are some of the major problems in the judiciary facing Yuma County today?
Honestly, I'm looking at it. I think we've got a great judiciary, and I think we've got a pretty good bar in Yuma. things that that you all on the panel might see in Maricopa County or Pima County, you don't get away with necessarily here. We're a small legal community, so while you might not get the deep research that you can get from a Central Avenue law firm with 150 associates and everything else, you're going to get pretty good work from folks. I think it's resources. I'm really looking at it that way. I see that judges are trying to do a good job. I think their dockets are extremely full. I'm not sure if the legislature has done them any favors pushing more and more work back on them without the ability to get through. So it seems like they always add elements to claims without really giving any more resources to figure those out. And what that does is it prompts a little bit of grandstanding. You've got to make sure as a litigant you're crossing your I's and dotting your T's, even for things that might not necessarily apply to your case, because you have to make sure the judge gets a full argument. So that's really what I'm seeing a little bit is we've got the courts being the last resort. They've got resources and limited resources, and it's tough on them. I think they're working very long hours, and I guess if I'm selected, I'm going to be working those very long hours as well.
Thank you. My name is Becky Freeman. I'm the director of Southern Arizona for Governor Ducey. What experience has most shaped your decision to apply for this judicial position?
Back to my position as deputy city attorney, I think that we don't spend a lot of time at this courtroom on just state law matters. We come back down here. And as we've come through, I've noticed that the judiciary has, again, fine judiciary, but we've moved through we've progressed, I guess is a good way to put it. We've progressed through, and starting with Judge Plant, we have some folks that are near retirement, and the new crop of lawyers, such as myself, are coming up. They need to step up and do service, and that's what I've seen a little bit here. We've been very, very lucky with a couple of the recent appointments that have happened, and including this candidate pool. I think we've got some really good lawyers on the list. I think the governor's kind of going out. But I think it's time for the generation that I'm in to step up and serve. And the folks above us did. And we'll expect the people that are coming out of law school in about 4 years to do the same thing in about 10 more years. So.
Thank you. My name is Emily Radjikovic. I'm Director of Boards and Commissions for Governor Ducey. Can you tell us, who is your judicial role model?
There's a dean at my law school named Valerie Couch, and it's going to seem funny about why she's a role model. I actually took a trial practice from her. I didn't start law school until I was 30, so I had a whole other career as a geologist, so I kind of came in with a little bit different. I think you guys might remember law school when you were there. It's a little frightening the first and second year, and they scare you to death, they work you to death, and then they bore you to death. But she was a federal judge, and she came in and gave some of the best advice that I heard about how to be a lawyer without being that kind of lawyer. And it's funny because everybody has a definition of what that kind of lawyer is, but we can all close our eyes right now and envision it. And I really prided myself on not being that kind of lawyer. I don't like the dirty tricks. I like straight up the pool. The statutes are there for a reason, and we do that. And she was very good about that one and gave some very salient advice to everybody in our class across the board. And she did very, very good. And in fact, I was very surprised when she left her federal judiciary and being in law school. So I guess if I'm half as good a lawyer as she is, I'm going to be pretty darn good, I hope.
Thank you.
So you may have alluded a little bit to this in a prior question, but as you think about what your vision for the county's judiciary system is, what changes would you like to see implemented and why?
I would like to see, I started my practice in Maricopa County, and when you're at the Northwest Courthouse, you have the judges sort of sitting circuit on types of cases for a little while and then transitioning off. Here, we have dedicated judges to certain aspects, so you know what type of case it is, and you know who the judge is going to be a little bit. Now, that's a recent development. Before that, when you went and filed a case, it was almost like a random number generator, and it kind of happened that way. Again, it's resources that kind of have it here, because you've only got five lawyers and or five judges and then two or three commissioners as well, so their workload's extremely high. But I think when someone on a judiciary has the chance to work in that field for a little while and kind of go through, do a couple of years on civil and then phase out, do a couple of years on family law and then phase out, I think it might implement some better justice, some quicker justice for the litigants. And I think it could actually make it a lot easier on the judicial staff, the judge himself, and for the court. I mean, the court's working overtime just trying to keep up with what's being generated here. Mm-hmm. I am really excited, though. We just got to turbo filing. Mm-hmm. So there's still some growing pains with it, but it's nice that to kind of have that a little bit more. So.
Thank you.
As a prospective judge, what do you consider your greatest strength?
My empathy. If you're looking for one word, that's really what it is. I've walked in the shoes of some of the folks who have come before. I've gone to the same places they have. I mean, went to high school here, did everything else. So if they're from Yuma, to a certain extent, I'm gonna be able to identify with the folks that are there, and also with the prosecutors and defense team that are before us. And so it's important to put the human element back in it while still applying this. The statutes as written and precedent as written. But you can empathize, you can understand a little bit, and not be cold. If it was cold, we'd have a computer be a judge and we'd be done with it.
Thank you.
If you could, describe a difficult case you have handled and what made it so difficult.
There was a recent case where I went to trial, and you saw it on my application, and it had to do with a water theft. It's kind of an amazing case. Somebody had tapped into a fire hydrant and used it to make water and sell it. It was a water-producing company that makes bottled water. And I'm sure the folks behind us are laughing because it was all over the front page. But what really made it difficult was not the actual water theft, was the fact that the FBI got involved and the federal government got involved at an early stage and considered to be waters of the United States and basically preempted the entire local ability for law enforcement and our office as well, and basically shut us down. And so we weren't able to do it. And then in a stroke of beautiful federalism, and I hate to say that because I was really being facetious, basically struck a deal with the litigants on the criminal side and used our water theft as an ability to get a criminal conviction, a plea agreement. And what that did is it mucked up the case. It mucked up our ability to get the citizens of Yuma paid back for the amount of water. And as you guys probably saw driving in from either Tucson or Phoenix or wherever everybody's from, water's super important in this particular region. It's the one thing Yuma has that's a little different, and we use it wisely, and we need to be good stewards of it. You saw all the agriculture coming in and things like that, so water's one thing we don't mess around on. And we had to sit with the federal agents that were watching this thing and watch our water be taken for 6 or 7 months. And then when the deal was struck, it was really... it hurt me personally a little bit. We were not really allowed to be zealous advocates for our clients anymore, but to a certain extent, we really tried to. And that one was difficult. It was difficult. And when we ended up going to trial, the jury was back in 20 minutes and found full damages for us. But, I felt like that the citizens of the city of Yuma had to go through, were victimized twice. Once by this thing happening, and then once again by the federal government, who, just kind of made that deal, and it really upset me. So that's what made it difficult. And it wasn't the legal aspect; it was the prior to that.
Thank you. One final question that we have before we go into sort of your closing is: obviously, whoever the governor appoints won't hold that position forever, as judges in Yuma County are elected. Are you willing to run for election should you be appointed?
Yeah, I am. And part of the things you'll see in my resume, and including some of the folks behind us know. It's just one thing that I'm involved in the community in a lot of different ways, from all different walks of life and not really there. And I'm willing to run for election, and I think I really feel like I can talk to the constituency, let them know where I stand, let my work speak for itself in answering questions, and I believe I can garner their votes to be re-elected.
Thank you. So if you'll take 2 minutes or however long we've got some time and give us your closing argument as to why the governor should pick you.
I blasted through that very quickly. Well, thanks again for coming down. You know, it's interesting standing in the hot seat right here and having some eyes on the back of your head and doing things, but I guess that's why we sign up as lawyers. You know, it happens to us all the time. My major purpose in doing this one was very well thought out and looking at that. I think Judge Plante has been a very good, provided very good service to the citizens of the county. He's always working hard. He's very involved. He has a trademark hat. I don't know if you guys had a chance to meet him yet, but he wears his trademark hat around, and he's there. He's at a lot of different community events. So at first, if you're going to be taking his seat, I think he would expect that in a heartbeat, and I'm willing to do that. Secondarily, I think my biggest problem with judiciary in general is you can see some very wonky rulings coming out, either of the Superior Courts and then again on Court of Appeals, and it doesn't feel like, and this actually goes more even in the federal court, it's not just here, it seems like the judges are outcome determinative, where they actually see what the issue is, they already know where they want to get, and then they're wrenching, and they're picking and winning winners and losers. You know, I don't think the government ought to be doing that at all. I don't really like it when the legislature picks winners and losers, and I certainly don't like it when the judiciary does. I think the judiciary seats in Yuma County have been very excellent. I mean, I don't think you really see it. I don't think anybody really writes an appeal or writes an opinion in a trial court worried about getting an appeal, and I certainly wouldn't. That's not really what your purpose is. Your purpose is to write it down and do everything. I just don't know where some of these are coming from. I listen to the arguments. I look at some of the evidence, and I don't know why they come out the way they do, except to think that that is outcome determinative. And I don't like it. And I don't think anybody really should like that happens. And again, I'm going to stand in their shoes and say that I'm not going to do that to make sure that what I've, you know, kind of hypothesized here is really what the truth is. And that's really what my issue is for being on the bench. So I really want to just apply statutes, apply it with the brain, apply it with the heart, and move forward.
Thank you. So moving forward, we will compile all of this information for the governor. He will review all of the applications, the letters of support, and meet with us and talk, you know, about the interviews that we had today. At this point, we do not expect that he will be doing further interviews. But when he makes his choice, no matter what, you will receive a phone call one way or the other letting you know that he has made his choice. The only other thing that I would mention is the background, the fingerprint background check that needs to be completed. And so obviously that needs to get done to move forward. So at this time, if you have any questions of us, we're to answer them?
Yeah, I have one on that one. The picture. You know, I was sitting there looking at it. My wife goes, oh, now you have to get dressed up for your picture because being a government lawyer, we don't have pictures. You know, they really aren't out there. So I had to go get, you know, it said high quality, I think is what the adjective said. Mm-hmm. So yeah, thanks for that.
Well, part of that is I will let you know when we present to the governor, obviously he's not here in person, and so, you know, to kind of give the full picture, you know, no pun intended, we have a photo of each of the applicants so that he can sort of see who they are as and put a face with it.
Does it go up on a screen and then you guys get to throw or
no.
I figured what it was for. I just kind of, when I saw it, I was like, oh, okay, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. You guys have a tough job. I mean, there's some good applicants here. So.
Thank
really
you so much.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'm going to steal this.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
Okay. Well, welcome. We're going to have you state your name for the record, if you would do that.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Jorge Lozano.
Welcome. So we are going to go through a list of questions that we have sort of go through the panel. We'll introduce ourselves as we do that so you know who we are. And at the end, we'll give you about a two-minute opportunity for a closing argument, so to say, as to why the governor should pick you. Okay. And then after that, I'll sort of explain process going forward from here today. And then you'll have an opportunity if you have any questions for us as to the process or anything else. Okay?
Okay. Excellent. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. All right. So if we can begin, first of all, I'm Annie Foster. I'm the General Counsel to Governor Ducey. And we'd ask that you first begin by taking about 2 minutes and telling us a little bit about yourself and why you want to be a judge in Yuma County.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. My name is Jorge Lozano. And I'm from Somerton, and Somerton is a small town, a city. Yuma County has approximately, we have three cities here in Yuma County, and I was raised and I currently reside in Somerton. I don't believe there's any Superior Court judges currently sitting on this bench from the city of Somerton, and I think it's equally important that we select a judge or judges that might be able to represent these rural parts of the county, different ideas and different experiences. I was born in San Luis, Mexico, which is right across the border, and my parents were migrant farm workers, so they brought our family over. I was about 4 years old when I came over to the United States. I did all my education K through 12th grade here in Yuma County. I did elementary school in Somerton, the city that I've been talking about. And I graduated from our local high school here, Cibola High. And pretty much the only time that I've been away from Yuma County has been when I was away to college. After finishing high school here locally, I did attend the University of Michigan on a scholarship. I graduated on time within 4 years, and then immediately after I started law school at Arizona State. I finished my 3 years there in law school as well, and I was offered a job here in town. That was, you know, as soon as I finished law school, I came down here. I was a staff attorney here at the Community Legal Services. That was first ever professional or any type of job that I've held. And from there forward, I've been involved mainly in organizations that help indigents or people that might not be as affluent in the community. Afterwards, I went to the Office of the Legal Defender. I did defense work for the county. And after I left the county, I started my own private practice. And there was a judge out in Somerton that retired as justice of the peace. So I reached out to him, and that's when I decided to run for office for my first time. And I was elected as the justice of the peace down in South County, we call it. It's Yuma County has the biggest unemployment rate in the country, and population down there is primarily Hispanic. So there was a few challenges out there. I served there for 8 years. After which I left the bench and I decided to run for Superior Court, and I haven't been successful yet. But I am married. I have a wife and 4 kids, and as long as my wife and my kids can put up with me and running for office, they've been very supportive and also supportive of this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What are some of the major problems facing the judiciary in Yuma County today? And I should back up. I'm Nicole Collier. I'm the Deputy General Counsel. And so to repeat my question again, is what are some of the major problems in the judiciary facing Yuma County today?
I believe that we have to make our courts accessible to all. And so one of the biggest challenges that I think is getting at least the non-English speaking defendants to be heard properly in front of a court without any problems or without any further, any delay. Yuma County has had a great success in establishing their video remote interpreting system, which is the first of its kind here in Yuma County. When I was Justice of the Peace, you know, my court was the one that was selected to initiate that program, and I think it's really important. We remedied a lot of those issues with people having a lack of access to the court because of their language barriers, but I think we're making great strides, and I think our Yuma County should be proud of the fact that we're moving forward in a positive direction. In terms of resources, I believe the court has plenty of resources. The Board of Supervisors funds the courts properly, I think. But on a personal note, I do believe that Yuma County, or the bench currently as it is, lacks diversity. I believe diversity is, helps our community. It is a different types of people come before the courts, and the current court makeup, in my opinion, doesn't really represent, what Yuma County is. A rural county, a county with, 50% Hispanic, a county with women, and I think that's what I think could lead to a different perception of what the court is. And if you want buy-in from the people, I think that's one of the problems that needs to be solved is making our courts a little bit more diverse.
Thank you.
My name is Becky Freeman. I'm the director of Southern Arizona for Governor Ducey. What experience has most shaped your decision to apply for this judicial position?
No, I grew up in a large family. 7 kids in my family, and my parents were mostly, hard workers. There was a specific instance in my life when I was growing up. I had a family member, a brother, who wasn't always on the right side of law, and he would always get in trouble. And so that was one of the main reasons why I decided to study law and why I went forward and began a career as an attorney. And so that was the first time, through some of the family experiences that I've had and people involved in the criminal justice system. Afterwards, my career has kind of been focused on assisting or representing indigents, people with limited access to our courts. I want everybody to be heard properly in our courtroom. And, the reason why I continue to, try and get on the bench or run for office or have run for office in the past is to do that, to give a voice to what I consider the voiceless in Yuma County. And essentially be a judge of, for the people, for the masses, for everybody.
Thank you.
I have the next question. My name is Emily Wright, Covington Service Director of Boards and Commissions on behalf of Governor Ducey. Would you tell us who is your judicial role model?
If I had to pick someone right now, it would be, I really like Justice Ruth Ginsburg. I she started out, as a moderate in on our bench, but lately she's carried the torch forward in what I consider important decisions for diversity in our country. One of the decisions that I really liked about her was United States versus Virginia. That was a, and it was hammered to us because Professor Bender, who argued the case, he was our constitutional law professor at ASU, but just a person that believes in equality, a person that believes in justice and access to justice to all, and a person who's a champion in gender rights and equal rights. I really like what Justice Ginsburg has done.
Thank you.
So you've already alluded to some of this already, but I'm going to ask a more specific question. Okay. So in your vision of the county's judicial system, what changes specifically would you like to see implemented and why?
You know, in terms of case processing, one of the things that I would like to see is cases being processed in a more efficient and faster time period. You know, I practice extensively on the domestic bench on domestic relations, and one of the things that I've seen and that I would like to remedy is getting those cases served in front of a judge in a faster time period. Some of our practicing attorneys, we have to look months down the line before we can get a case heard, especially when we're dealing with protecting our children and protecting, deciding issues on custody and parenting time. And so that's something that I think, if I were selected, I'd work really hard on getting those cases heard faster and in a more efficient way in front of the court for all parties.
Thank you.
As a prospective judge, what do you consider your greatest strength?
My greatest strength, I would say, is compassion. I don't necessarily agree with the fact that a judge has to sit there and fix the facts in order to, you know, achieve an outcome. That's not what I'm talking about. But I've caught myself doing this in a couple of cases that I sat in before where I've had to perhaps relax the rules on a certain party appearing before the court simply because of the story that they tell you or the hardship that someone's facing. So overall, I think it would be compassion and when I sit on some of the cases.
Thank you.
If you can, describe a difficult case you have handled and what made it so difficult.
Would you like a reference to just a case of an attorney or sitting on the bench or just any overall case that I've...
Whichever.
Okay. There was a case that I handled as a judge here in Yuma County that made it difficult for me just because of what was involved and, you know, my own children. There was a young 3-year-old boy who was being taken care of the young parents. We don't exactly know which parent was responsible for overseeing or the child at that time, but the child got out of the home, went to the back of the home, and fell into a cesspool. They didn't have a sewer connected to a normal sewer line. They had a hole in the ground with like a pipe, and the child fell in there, and the child drowned in a cesspool of water and all that other stuff. And it was really difficult. It was traumatic. Parents, I wouldn't consider parents being bad parents at all. It was during that time somebody wasn't watching the child. And it was difficult. It was difficult to hold those parents accountable. You know, the county did bring up charges for negligence and whatnot. But that was a difficult case. It also, you know, had some national media attention to it. And it was just a difficult case overall dealing with that the child and seeing those images and seeing some of the evidence that was gathered there.
So one sort of final question that we have is, and you've already alluded to this, but we always ask it, is if you were selected by the governor, would you be willing to run in an upcoming election to continue on the court?
Yeah, yes, definitely. You know, I think that at least from the governor's perspective, he would want to select or at least have a factor in selecting someone would be someone that is willing to run and is willing to retain their office and is willing to go out there and do what's needed to keep his legacy alive and to, you know, and to continue on with his election. I've ran at least four elections, you know, so I do have the experience in running, and I'm willing to go out there and do what's necessary to keep the seat.
Thank you. So now is your time. Take about 2 minutes, and you can take longer if you have the time to give us your closing argument as to why the governor should pick you.
Yes, as I said before, Yuma County is a great place to be in. Yuma County has afforded me a lot of opportunities. I started and I lived probably in one of the worst blighted and toughest neighborhoods here in Yuma County, a place where probably wouldn't think a lawyer would ever come out of that area. And I think that that life experience is something that's needed here on the bench. It's something that we don't have currently. The composition of the bench, I think the governor should also look at as to, you know, getting judges that are equally represented from different areas or in the county, different genders, different backgrounds. And definitely, as I said, is someone that I think the governor will select someone that is able to successfully run a campaign and keep that office so that the governor can be proud of this election.
Thank you. So moving forward from here today, we will meet with the governor and he will we will compile all of the information, including the information from today's interviews, presented to him. He will review it all. We'll share our perspectives with the governor as well. At this point, we do not expect that he will do interviews himself. But after he makes his choice, no matter what, we always make sure we reach out personally through a phone call to all the candidates, so you'll hear one way or the other, whatever his choice is. I believe that you've already received a letter or some information about the fingerprint background check that we need completed, so if you haven't done that already, we just ask that you complete that.
Yes, and I had a follow-up question on that. I did get your letter regarding footprint card, and I haven't received the card itself.
Okay.
And so my question is, can I walk into the police department and fill one of their cards, or does that specifically be the one that you send over?
I think we send it, but let us check with staff and find out for sure. But I think we send it because it needs a specific code on it.
Oh, okay. So it might have the agency code.
Yeah, so we'll just double check and make sure.
Yes, because I, you know, again, from Somerton, we don't get mail. We get mail in our P.O. box, and I check my box constantly, and I haven't gotten it in So I'm just concerned because I know it's got to be in within 2 days. That
okay.
The letter said.
Okay. We'll check because it might have just been an oversight that our staff didn't include it like they should have in your letter.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you. It was a pleasure meeting with you all, and thank you for being here in Yuma County.
Really nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you so much. And just to confirm the letter that was sent to you, that's the address to also send the fingerprint card. Is that right?
Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm going to take the water.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to take it. Thank you, sir.
Well, welcome. Before we get started, we've got some new people in the gallery, so I just want to say that we're just so everybody understands, going through these interviews, we want to make sure that there's sort of no going in and out. So if you're in here, we just ask that you stay until the end of this interview. Obviously, allow the candidates to stay focused on their interview. And obviously, just kind of stay quiet so that they can do their interview. All right. So will you state your name for the record, please?
Sure. My full name is Claudia Maria Gonzalez-Jimenez.
All right. Thank you very much. So we're going to go through some questions. The whole panel will be sort of asking questions. When we get to the end, we'll give you about 2 minutes to do a closing statement, closing argument as to why the governor should pick you over any other candidates. And then I will sort of explain the process going forward and offer the opportunity for you to ask any questions of us that we have. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. So if, first of all, I'm Annie Foster, General Counsel to Governor Ducey, and if you could start out by telling us a little bit about yourself, take about 2 minutes or so, and why you want to be a Superior Court judge.
Sure. So I was born in Mexico in a small town called Nuevo Caso Grandes, Chihuahua. It's mostly known for where the revolutionary Pancho Villa kind of like held himself during the Mexican Revolutionary War. And I immigrated with my parents when I was about 3 years old. And I've been living in Phoenix and, Arizona ever since. So I grew up in Phoenix. I went to high school in Phoenix. And I went to Atlanta, Georgia for college. And when I was in Atlanta, I knew that I wanted to be abroad and work abroad. And so I decided to come back to Phoenix to teach first before going to law school. And I taught for 2 years at Phoenix Country Day, which is where I went to high school. And then I went to Seoul, South Korea to teach English as a second language for a year. So I was there in Seoul for a year. And it was there that I applied to law school and got my degree and started working. I always knew that I wanted to be in public service. I know it's my calling. I've been a part of student government or a public service position my whole life, in elementary school, in middle school, and in high school. I was president of my class at some point or another. And since I have been employed full-time as a young adult and now, I have always been in a public service position. So right out of high school, like I said, I started teaching at the middle school and high school level. In Korea, it was ranging from elementary school students to high school students. And then since getting my law license, I represented indigent immigrant children through the Florence Project, the nonprofit organization. And through the Office of the Legal Defender here in Yuma County, I represented indigent defendants. And now in my role as a prosecutor, I represent the state of Arizona, and I prosecute offenders, and I serve the community of Yuma in that way. So I wholeheartedly believe that public service is my calling, and an opportunity to serve on the bench, I think, is not only a continuation of that, but it is an opportunity for me to serve on a greater and wider scale. But more importantly, I want to serve on this Yuma County Superior Court bench because I think it's time to diversify the bench. Yuma is over 50% Hispanic, and it is certainly not all male. And I, as a Mexican-American woman, bring diversity of gender, ethnicity and race to the bench. I also think that my unique upbringing and life experiences from a first-generation immigrant to now an aspiring leader in my field, all of these experiences have prepared me for this very important role, I think. And that I also think that it will enable me in the future to connect to a wider spectrum of people in this community.
Thank you.
I'm Nicole Collier. I'm the Deputy General Counsel to Governor Ducey. What are some of the major problems facing the judiciary in Yuma County today?
One of the problems that I think that is facing our judicial system is, honestly, I think access to I guess wider representation. I know that our offices are, the caseloads are high, and the benches, each court caseloads are also high. And so when we try to litigate our cases and set them for trial, we are experiencing that problem now where our trials are being set out far into the future. Defendants are, unless they're in custody and are having to have their trials be set because of Rule 8 time, they're having to waive time. They're having to waive their right to an ED trial because of a packed caseload. So I think that's one of the, I think, more important problems that is facing the judiciary now. I also think that access to better mental health evaluations, specifically for the purposes of Rule 11 evaluations. Of course, my primary practice is criminal because I'm a prosecutor, and so what I see is a very limited list of mental health professionals who are available and willing and are qualified to do the type of evaluations that we need as part of our cases.
Thank you.
My name is Becky Freeman. I'm the Director of Southern Arizona for Governor Ducey. What experience has most shaped your decision to apply for this judicial position?
As I stated, I think at the very beginning, I want to serve on a greater and wider scale. I think what I do now as a prosecutor is very important. I serve the state of Arizona. I represent victims on behalf of the state, and so I think what I do on behalf of the Yuma community is very important. But I think that on another level, the judiciary and the role of a judge to offer people to the community on a bigger scale, you're the face of justice. You're the face of fairness, and as most often, when you think about the judicial system, you think of a judge, and so you're the face of the decision maker. And I want to contribute to the positive reinforcement of the judiciary, and I want to contribute to the law in our community in that way. So that is probably one of the biggest factors behind that. I want to continue to serve. I just want to continue to serve on a different and wider scale.
Thank you for being here this afternoon. My name is Emily Radjikovich. I serve as Director of Boards and Commissions on behalf of Governor Ducey. Can you tell us, who is your judicial role model?
Sure. So I've had the pleasure of appearing for many intelligent and talented judges over my practice, both here in Yuma County and in Maricopa. And from each one of them, I've taken guidance on demeanor and approach to the law. But on a national scale, I'd have to say that Justice William Rehnquist is one of my judicial role models. And I say that for his developed judicial philosophy. In one of his articles that he wrote in which he criticized the notions of a living constitution. Justice Rehnquist wrote that an originalist approach should be applied toward the Constitution because it is a timeless document, it's the right generation, and in order for its principles to survive, it must be given the meaning that it had within the historical context that it was written, of course. So in this sense, I would align myself with Justice Rehnquist and Justice Scalia in an originalist approach, but not in a textualist or strict constructionist meaning. But it is Justice Rehnquist in that article that he also wrote that judicial restraint and deference to the legislator are essential components of a responsible judiciary. And so from that, I take a plain meaning language approach to statutory interpretation and adherence to past precedent because it reflects the deference to the legislator and it reflects that judicial restraint. So from a judicial philosophy perspective, Justice William Rehnquist. Another role model would be Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. And I say that for her very narrow approach to individual cases and also for her commitment to youth in civic engagement, as she has demonstrated through her iCivics program that's available online and, you know, accessible and used by high schools across the country. I personally believe that, I believe in the transformational ability of our younger generation, and specifically in our field that is seemingly unapproachable and intimidating, I really am committed to youth empowerment in the law. And that's why I resurrected the mock trial program, and that's why I continue to recruit high schools, not only in Yuma, but in Lake Havasu, and I continue to be a speaker at the high school level and at the college level, and I speak about criminal justice system in general, the law, you know, the legal field, my cases that I'm able to talk about, and my journey as a lawyer, because I want kids to be able to see themselves where we are today.
Thank you very much. And you alluded to this a little bit in your prior answer, but in your vision for the future of the county's judicial system, what changes would you like to see implemented if you were to get this position?
Could you repeat the question?
Yes. So as you look forward, if you were to get this position, and you look forward as to what the county's judicial system looks like, what changes would you like to see if you got on the bench?
You know, I guess I would have to come back to the two that I mentioned. They are clogged calendars. Like, I'm sure that every judge has had some idea or a hope that calendars would not be clogged. And so I'm not saying I have the answers to that, but I see that as an issue. And as a judge, I hope to enforce, like I said, specifically for Rule 11 evaluations, to have higher standards and enforce that rule maybe a bit more.
As a prospective judge, what do you consider your greatest strength?
My temperament. I hope that others would say the same, but I feel like I'm patient, I am fair, and I'm compassionate with the people that I speak with and interact with. And when working with opposing counsel, I think that I have always been open-minded and willing to receive information in order to make decisions. And I think those are important traits in a judge because, again, you're the face of the court system, and not only that, but as a decision maker, you're supposed to be open-minded and you're supposed to take in information in order to make that decision.
If you can, describe a difficult case you have handled and what made it so difficult.
Well, evidence-wise, I just finished a a sexual exploitation trial that was not voluminous in documents, but in technology, because it was a computer-based investigation. I had to really work very closely with the case agent, the forensic examiner, who did the investigation on the computer, and so to be able to present thousands of images, videos, in any digestible way to the jury was extremely challenging. We're talking about presenting links, you know, definitions and explanations of what link files are, of what IP addresses are, of, you know, just technological jargon that I had to not only learn for myself, but then have to translate that over to the jury. And I would add that my teaching experience came in handy so much. I had the big post-it boards everywhere in the courtroom at one point, and I had to draw from my teaching experience for that trial.
So one question that we haven't asked yet, but we need an answer to, is obviously in Yuma County elects judges. And so if the governor were to appoint someone to the spot, they would eventually have to run to retain the spot. Are you willing to run for election in the future?
Yes, I am.
And would you just take a few minutes, and we've got time, but make your closing argument as to why the governor should pick you?
Sure.
Do
you want to see this standing or is
that
normal?
Okay.
I didn't know if this was a
normal
person having a
50. I say that just so people understand what I'm saying. Like, you know, this is an open-ended, you have the opportunity to sell yourself.
Okay. All right. You know, I genuinely believe I'm the best fit for the job, not only from a ethnicity and gender and race perspective, of course, but because I have been through diverse experiences in my life. Again, like I said, I grew up in a lower income neighborhood. I come from working class parents. Who my dad is a welder, my mom is a seamstress. My dad originally was in a culture. I have lived here in Mexico. I'm bilingual. And I have traveled significantly, and I have interacted with many people, and I feel that those experiences have enabled me to relate to people on some level. I think that when people come into a courtroom, they want to see something as part of them in the people before them. And while I may not reflect in my faith all of the community of Yuma, it's certainly over half. And for those that are not, my experiences from going to a lower income neighborhood to going to a predominantly white upper class high school. And then from being the first person in my family to obtain a postgraduate degree, and my experiences as a lawyer have really helped me relate to people who aren't like me and to find common ground. I am passionate about the law. I'm passionate about serving the people, and I am committed to serving my community, and Yuma is my community.
So moving forward from here, we will compile all of this information that we have collected here today, as well as all of the applications, the letters of support that get submitted. The governor will review all of that, help sit down, have a conversation with us as to, you know, what our thoughts are. We don't expect at this point in time that he'll be doing interviews himself. He'll just base his decision on this information. At which point, once he makes that decision, we will communicate that to the candidates, no matter which way he goes and who he decides to appoint. You will get a call no matter what. We like to make that sort of personal reach out no matter what. I would just remind you that the fingerprint background check is still needed, so if you haven't turned that in, you know, make sure that you do that. And I think the process for letters of support is still open through our website, so until that deadline. So with that, if you have any questions of us, now's your opportunity to ask them.
Well, I guess just as a clarifier, the deadline for the support, the letters of support, even if you get a call before, will we get a call before then, I guess is my question, before April 5th, so that people aren't submitting letters.
Okay. No, you won't.
Okay.
No, we wait until those closeout dates before we sit down and talk with the governor.
No, I just said I want to thank you guys for the opportunity. I feel humbled and privileged. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, you're very welcome. I'll just pull up my notes here. I wasn't paying attention. Okay. So we'd like to start by first having you state your name for the record.
Okay. It's Julie McDonald.
Okay. So we have a process. We're going to go through and ask you some questions.
Mm-hmm.
The panelists will all introduce ourselves when we ask the first question and then ask you the question. At the end, we'll give you about 2 minutes or so. We might have more time than that to give you a sort of closing statement, closing argument as to why the governor should pick you.
Okay.
Then I'll explain a little bit about process moving forward and give you the opportunity to ask any questions that maybe you have that haven't been answered.
Okay. Sure.
All right. So with that, I'm Annie Foster, general counsel to the governor. And the first question that I have for you is if you would take about 2 minutes and tell us a little bit about yourself and why you want to be a Superior Court judge.
Again, my name is Julie McDonald. I have been an attorney for 19 years. I achieved my criminal law specialist the first year I could, but after 7 years, and I renewed it. I just renewed it for the second time. I'm really looking forward to a new challenge. I do a little bit of administrative law, a little bit of civil law, and so I'm looking for something new to learn, and I think it would present a really good opportunity to meet new people as well and hopefully get involved in committees or other things such as that. I own my own business, and I am, me, myself, and I are the secretaries, so belonging to committees and things like that, it's somewhat hard to get out of Yuma to go to Phoenix and things. So I was hoping that maybe becoming a Superior Court judge would allow me a larger opportunity to interact with the legal community on a larger basis, but from a rural county.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Nicole Collier. I'm the Deputy General Counsel to Governor Ducey. What are some of the major problems facing the judiciary in Yuma County today?
So the major problems facing the judiciary here, especially being in a rural county, are number one, it's going to come down to funding, but that's too general. It's mental health and substance abuse treatment. We have nowhere here for mental health people to stay long term, and since Arizona has the loophole where we can't do civil commitments unless they're renewed every year, we have clients that fall through those cracks. I have one right now. There's nowhere for anybody to stay for long term residential treatment for drug abuse. 30 days is pretty much the maximum, so we really just don't have the resources here to combat those things on a long-term basis. For example, we don't have residential treatment for people who are seriously mentally ill and need like a group home because they really can't live on their own, but at the same time they don't have family that can be a guardianship for them, or in the case of my client, she's a threat to her family. So there's really nowhere to place people like that, and that's becoming very difficult, especially as the fentanyl and things like that are starting to come over the border. And the methamphetamine being mixed with that, I myself had 3 ODs last year of clients that passed away, so we're starting to see a higher increase in that. And at the same time, it's taking a lot longer for our clients to come down from the drugs. It used to take about 10 days. Now it's taking probably closer to 30 before you can have the actual conversations with them. And so that's hard as far as treatment or anything like that's concerned.
Thank you.
My name is Becky Freeman. I'm the director of Southern Arizona for Governor D.C. What experience has most shaped your decision to apply for this judicial position?
To apply?
Yes.
I think the experience is I have done different realms of the law, and I have been a judge pro tem in Yuma Municipal Court. But what I liked is that I can get involved in different aspects of the law, because as a criminal defense attorney, I can't set goals. I got my criminal law specialist as soon as I could, so I can't set a goal like I'm going to get a case dismissed a month. You can't set things like that. So in order, becoming a judge would not only be a goal, but I would be able to do other things and make goals such as, you know, maybe at some point do the probate calendar, or some point do the divorce calendar. Whatever calendar I get, that would help me, it would help me learn. I don't like not knowing things, and I like to learn. So I think I've gone, I don't want to say as far as I can go in criminal defense, because obviously, you know, there's always, you're always going to have cases, but it becomes kind of limited, and as far as where you can branch out, which is why I do work for both police unions and some different areas like that, to try and branch out as much as I can for both the prison union and the AZ Cops Union, for both of those. I'm the attorney for both of those in the southern part.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good afternoon. My name is Emily Radjkovic. I serve as Director of Boards and Commissions on behalf of Governor Ducey.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us, who is your judicial role model?
So I don't have a judicial role model, and the reason is because I think it's very important to take from all different people. So do you mean local, federal?
Anything you prefer.
So local here, in practicing in Cochise County and in here, for example, Judge Nelson, Roger Nelson here, I've been really, really impressed at how he handles mentally ill clients, because they are a handful, and he's very patient with them. Judge Tom Collins in Cochise County, I was very impressed with him, because there were times when I had a trial in front of him and he wanted to make sure he defined a word right. And we all were in his office, and he had dictionaries spread on the floor, old law books, pens, paper, and no Westlaw. He just was doing the work. And so I appreciated the fact that he took that time. And in a second case with him, in determining whether to give us a lesser included, he actually took our cell phone numbers and called us that night to tell us his decision, because he wanted to research it. And then also, Justice O'Connor, I know the biography just came out on her last week, but I was really impressed when I've been reading about her, and the fact that when she started out as a lawyer, she did so at a county attorney's office for free, because she wanted to be a lawyer so bad she didn't even take pay for it. And when she started at the Supreme Court, she got 60,000 letters in 1 year, and there was no women's bathroom. So I keep thinking about the different ceilings she kind of broke through her own hard work, but at the same time, I really admired her sense of loyalty. I was reading a part about her about how she refused to step down because there was a Democrat president, and she didn't want them to replace her position with a Democrat, so she held on until there was a Republican president elected, and then she announced her retirement. And then just the fact of really how long she took care of her husband with Alzheimer's and how difficult that is, but still continued not just her legal career, but trying to educate the public on civics and on the Constitution and things like that, even after she retired. So I was really impressed that she continued that work, but really her loyalty was really impressive to me, to her family and just the job itself.
Thank you very much. So you've already sort of alluded to this in your answer to another question. But as you look to your vision of the future of the judiciary here in Yuma County, what changes would you like to see implemented and why? You talked a little bit about substance abuse and mental health issues, but how would you address those and why?
Those specific issues or what I see
what
in general?
See?
So a couple things that I see in general is, number one, I would like to look at the federal guidelines for drug court, because there are medications, Vivitrol and Revia, that you can give people that block the opioid receptors, at least to get them through that initial withdrawal. And I'm not sure why drug court does not advocate those, because that could be a very big help. But again, I don't know what the guidelines are for the specific program itself. Also, I would like to see time utilized better, as far as if, no matter what you're in, if your proceedings are longer than 15 minutes, then you need to be on a different calendar day and not long motion, because that's not the time to argue long motions. It's a, you know, we can have 100 cases on a calendar on one criminal law day. So being more efficient with time. I also would like to see, as far as divorce cases and family law cases and things of that, again, if motions are filed, attorneys should be putting on motions or giving the court a heads up of how long they think it will take, so that scheduling can be appropriate, because it seems to get very backlogged when judges don't rein that in as far as the arguments and how long it goes. But if the judge is very prepared, I think they can also pare down those, I think they can also pare down the hearings to not the tangential issues, but what are the issues. And I think that's really important for a judge to be prepared on those things, because it does help with time as well. And so that's kind of the thing, that's kind of the things that I like to see, especially the time, because I can sit in court from 8:30 to 4 o'clock for one hearing, and that's it. You know, so that's like a whole day of just, you know, I mean, obviously we bring work, but still it kind of cuts into, you know, jail visits and, you know, your practice and things of that sort. So I think there's got to be a way to do it a little bit more efficiently, especially with trials. I don't know why trials here are only 2.5 days instead of 4. I haven't figured that out yet. They only go the 2 days the judges don't have court, and then the half day. So they don't go on their civil day, and they don't go on their law and motion day. So trials take, you can set a trial for a month, but if you went 4 days, it could be done in 2 weeks. So I'm not sure what the rationale is behind that. I also think it's very distracting to jurors, and I think it's hard to keep a flow going in the trial itself.
Thank you.
As a prospective judge, what do you consider your greatest strength?
So my greatest strength, number one, is from doing this for so long, is I've learned a lot of patience, which is not something I started out with. I understand that when clients or people come to see me, they don't want to. They're coming to see me because they have to. And for the majority of them, it's a very, very overwhelming process. So I have to take a lot of time and explain it to them. And I always tell them, if you don't understand what I'm saying, ask me, because I can explain it a different way. I am also extremely efficient and prepared. I spent probably about 25 hours preparing for this interview, and making sure I knew what the process would be and things of that sort. I don't like to not be prepared. I like working. So as far as I'm concerned, a 60-hour work is nothing. 40 hours is like I feel like I took half the week off, because I like to work, because I like to know. I don't like to be caught unprepared. I also think that I'm very forthright with people. My clients, I tell them I am not sunshine and rainbows. I'm going to have to tell you the worst, and then we can work from there. So as long as you know what the worst-case scenario is, then we can work on your case backwards from that, so we know that, to me, is the starting point. But I also think I'm very efficient So I use my time very wisely, especially with being my own secretary and calendaring my own stuff, my own motions. I answer my own phone. So I'm very efficient with my time and how I use it. And I'm not afraid to make hard decisions. I think that, again, I watched Judge Kinsey have to make a decision in one of my cases, and it was heartbreaking for all of us. But he made the decision, and it was the right decision. But it was really, you can see sometimes judges struggle with those decisions, but they're making the decisions based on the law, not on emotion, and that's the way it should be. And so I think that by being on the side that's very emotional a lot, and I'm currently a victim's rights advocate in a murder case with a 16-year-old, so I understand the emotions from that side too. It's hard to give people bad news, but you have to tell them. And it has to be based on what the law is, not what they want to hear. I get very frustrated when people tell me that a lawyer told them, I can promise you this, I can make sure this is done, this is what's going to happen, or, you know I can get this. None of that's true. You don't know any of that. It could be a different prosecutor, it could be a different anything. So I'm very, very upfront with what the situation is from the beginning, so that they know and that they can be prepared, and their families.
Thank you. If you can, describe a difficult case you have handled and what made it so difficult.
Do you just want one? Okay, so one from Yuma County. Well, let me give you two because they're a little bit different. When I was in Cochise County, I represented a 16-year-old who was accused of murdering his parents. They were prison guards. And he, because he orphaned himself, I could not get into the house and get anything. I couldn't get paperwork. I couldn't get anything because his siblings were living there. And then it made it very difficult because at 16, he couldn't tell me a personal history. Like, he'd never been to the dentist. He didn't know who his doctor was. He knew nothing. And it turned out their family was completely estranged from their entire grandmas and grandpas. I found one grandma and one aunt, and all they had for me, for him, was 10 photographs from an elementary school. So it was really difficult trying to build a defense for him. And it was the same year that Roper was decided. So as we're going through this, the juvenile death penalty was still in place. We weren't quite sure what was going to happen. So that one was really hard from that standpoint. And then another one that was very difficult for me here is I had a client who was accused of killing his girlfriend's baby. And it ended up, it was frustrating because he was charged based on an accomplice liability, but they never charged the girlfriend. And it came down to a 3-day time limit. And it actually, the time limit, this is the way that forensic pathologist explained it. I had to hire a forensic pediatric pathologist in Minnesota. And it came down, as she said, to the goop in the spinal cord magnified by a million. Like, that's what his defense was hanging on. And while her and I believed that it would bear out that he could not have been there, he took the blame for her and went to prison and just pled guilty for her. And that was very heartbreaking because, I mean, my clients are rarely innocent. I'm not going to fluff it up. You know, I know what they did, but that was very difficult because it was so scientifically specific in such a specific area. There's not that many pediatric forensic pathologists. I think at the time there were 10 in the United States. So it was frustrating from that, and then it was frustrating that she wasn't charged as well. I did not think that was fair as far as that was concerned. And that was a prosecutor's decision, I mean. But I didn't. If they felt that he actually did it, then I felt they shouldn't have charged accomplice liability. That was my feeling on it.
Thank you. So obviously here in Yuma County, judges are elected.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question we have for you is that if the governor were to appoint you mm-hmm. to this position, are you willing to run for the election to permanently take this seat?
No, absolutely. I have very close friends here that would help me. The only family I really have are my parents, and they actually retired here, and my mom's energy runs circles around me, so she probably have it organized and color-coded before I could. No, absolutely. And actually, I think, I don't know if I'd enjoy it or not, but I think it would be a really interesting experience. And I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but my competitiveness would probably kick in. So I think I'd really enjoy, like, meeting the different people that I don't get to meet in what I do. You know, sometimes I forget that when I meet people like you, it's like, oh yeah, there's normal people in the world, not my clients that I deal with on an everyday basis.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So process moving forward is we will compile all of this information that we've gathered today, along with your application, any letters of support that are submitted to our office. The governor will review those things. Mm-hmm. We'll sit down and talk with him. At this point, we do not expect that he's going to do interviews for this appointment. But after he reviews all of that and makes his decision, then that will be communicated. And our office always makes contact with all of the applicants, whether you get the position or not, mm-hmm. just so that you're clear on where mm-hmm. you stand. The other thing that I would just make sure that you're paying attention to is the fingerprint background check.
It's already mailed to you.
Okay, perfect.
I let Amy know.
Perfect. Okay. And with that, I would say, you know, if you have any questions for us, we're certainly able to answer anything we can.
I don't think that, how long do you expect the process, because I know Judge Plant has a very large calendar, and I don't know, like, how they're going to split things up, but how long do, I know that reference letters are due by the 5th at 5. Does it take a while after that, or is that just dependent on if he wants to do?
It's really dependent on, you know, sort of what he is looking to do. I will tell you that we are on a deadline for an appointment for a Supreme Court justice,
yeah.
whereas there's no deadline for this appointment.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm not saying that means that he'll take a long time.
No.
It's just obviously when there's a deadline, he mm-hmm. has to pay attention to that one first and foremost. So I don't have a timeline, but we want to get somebody filled in the spot as soon as possible so that there's very little time mm-hmm. that elapses without Judge Plant being here.
Okay.
Good.
Do you want me to give any closings or do anything, or am I good?
You're good. Did I get
okay. I'm sorry. It's okay. I know you've been here all day, and I didn't want to say, well, wait.
No, I'm glad. After you said it, I was like, did I give you that opportunity?
A closing sounds a little weird.
Yeah,
no, I just appreciate you guys coming down. And again, please thank Amy. She's been wonderful to work with. I kind of wanted to steal her, but I'm just myself. I'm really excited about this, and I really hope that this is something I'm appointed to. It's really kind of opened my eyes again about the law and just how much I like it. But also, I did a lot of research for this position on different things, and I really realized that I've been practicing law in a way where you can't be a person. A judge can't rule on things emotionally. You have to follow the law. That's our job. And it's the legislator's job. You know, we can't fix what they did. If there's something that needs to be fixed or that's the way they wrote the law, then that's the way the law needs to be followed. I don't think it's appropriate for judges to go outside of the bounds and make their own laws and do anything like that. And I was really surprised how many judges not only were more activist judges, but I was really surprised at the number of judges I aligned with when I was researching them as far as more of a strict constructionist attitude. I didn't realize how much that's how I had been practicing law. And then as I started reading more about it, I thought, you know, that does make a lot of sense. I just think that this is a great opportunity. Like I said, I've been doing this for 19 years. It sounds like a really good challenge for me. And the way I would like to do things, I obviously wouldn't want to come in and, you know, here's my edict, I'm changing the course. You know, it's a big learning curve and things like that. But, again, I'm really up for that. And I'm really excited to be able to take on that challenge. But the last thing I wanted to say is I've sent my references that are being sent in besides the ones on the application. I pulled from a very diverse group. So I have jail commanders, I have law enforcement, I have civil attorneys in Phoenix that have all gone against me. I tried to show a very large diversity of that I do get along with people and do things fairly, because when I started law, the one thing that I was told is that the only thing you have, especially as a public defender, is your reputation. And you can't do anything to tarnish your reputation, because if you do, then you're tarnishing your career. I tried very hard to maintain that. Not that I haven't made mistakes, but all my Google reviews are 5 stars. All my Avvo reviews are 5 stars. And knock on a lot of wood, I've never had a bar complaint. So I try to really take pride in my job and what I do, but also treat people fairly, because they're in an emotional situation that is not normal for them. So I think I'm more excited about this than I thought I would be, doing the very lengthy application process. So I think that's it. Unless you guys have questions for me, do you have any other things that I said that?
No.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.